Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I'm delighted to be with you, and I'm delighted that you're listening to this podcast. We are grateful for you because we do it for you. And it is yet another beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my co-host. Hi, friends.
Hello there. This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton, and I'm delighted to say it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And greetings to you all. This is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton, and it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you know, Cher and I are the co-founders of an alternative unity ministry, and it's alternative because we have all turns when it comes to theology. We have a new updates constantly. So we're all alternative ministry. There you go. And it's called the Unity Center for Universal, Y-O-U. That's one of the turns, Y-O-U, universalprosperity.com.
And to make it easy for you, all you have to do is hit UCFYP.com and you will be there and have access to all our turns that we project.
Yes. And when he said all turns, I thought he meant all the birds that are tern types, you know?
Oh, boy. Well, we do fly over people's heads sometimes.
We do. And I really, Bill, with your greeting that time, I really heard, "Greetings, earthlings." Because most of our listeners know we're sort of out of this world and out of our heads. So let's get romping. Metaphysical Romp 2 is about meta-spirituality, spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, and science and pseudoscience. And like we said, you get to choose which one we're doing.
That's right.
So we are continuing a mini-romp here with quotes from the Fillmore's writings on desire. And we're finding them really fascinating. We hope you do too. And Cher, I noticed when I was listening to last week's recording, I was doing a lot of reading. And so I'm inviting you to start us off today.
Oh, all right. My pleasure. So we're going to pick up with a quote from Keep a True Lent, where Charles Fillmore says, "One good definition of love is that it is the feeling that excites desire for the welfare of its object." I'd like to read that one more time so people get it, because that's pretty packed.
It's pretty profound. Yeah.
So again, he's defining love, and he says one good definition of love is that it is the feeling that excites desire for the welfare of its object.
Yeah, so when he's talking about love here, he's talking about the feeling. He's talking about maybe the emotion, but he's not talking about the principle or divine idea or power of love.
Yeah.
And I love the distinction he makes with the welfare of its object, not for the object itself.
Yes. Wasn't that good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's something that people can start thinking about, and not that people are objects, but even in relationships, that people sometimes ask us, what's the secret to your good relationship? And one of our answers is we always care more about the welfare, if you would want to use his terminology, of the other person over ourselves, and we really care about them.
But it doesn't really work with the idea of loving dark chocolate.
Well,
because
you definitely want it to be happy and well. You want the welfare. You want chocolate to continue to exist, right?
Well, yeah, but the welfare of that piece of chocolate is toast.
It's cool. Yes. Exactly.
Oh, we'll have to think about that one.
Right.
Okay. So he goes on to explain that. He says, if all people would recognize love as embodying this ideal, recognize that God loves all people to the degree that he has poured out his life and substance and intelligence equally with us in the universal scheme, they would find in it the solution to every problem of life.
Okay, so we have a little bit of a caution sign going up, don't we?
Yes,
we do. That God loves all men to the degree that he has poured out his life and substance intelligence equally with us. So God is not pouring out substance and life and intelligence. God is substance and life intelligence, which is everywhere, totally present in its entirety at all points of space and time. So God is not loving like we are loving, correct?
That's correct. In fact, if you take a quote from Charles in Jesus Christ Heals, he says, God is not loving, God is love. The great heart of the universe and of man, from which is drawn forth all feeling, sympathy, emotion, and all that goes to make up the joys of existence.
Yeah, and then he goes on to say, yet God does not love anybody or anything. God is the love in everybody and everything. God is love. Man becomes loving by permitting that which God is to find expression and word and act. So this is a big distinction between the way most people understand love these days.
Mm-hmm. So when people say God loves you, you know, really, that's not a true statement or an accurate statement.
Yeah. However, it's comforting for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. It is.
A lot of people. And wow, that's a big frog to swallow, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I'm tempted when I see something like this, when I hear something like this, to give people a little bit of a nudge, if you will, in a more non-anthropomorphic direction. And just sort of ease them into that concept by saying the God concept.
That's yes.
Just God.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's really good. So you would say the God concept is not loving. Is that what you say?
Yeah.
Or the God concept is what is love. And
yeah, okay. Yeah.
And because that's the problem all of us, I think, deal with when we talk about the word God. That people automatically revert to this anthropomorphic God that we've created in our own image and give all these human qualities to.
So I wonder what pronouns God would like now in reference to.
Really?
They.
To itself. Would it be they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was hard for me to use it with God. Now I have no problem with that whatsoever, but I can remember really felt like sacrilege to say it.
Yeah, it because we were raised to respect God and don't be, I guess, sacrilegious, you know. Yeah. You use the word. It's like, however, remember when I had that aha that we call each other it all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bones, who is it? Mm-hmm. And then you answer, it's Paul or it's Cher.
Yep.
We're very strange creatures. Especially the three of us.
Definitely.
Okay, let's go on to the next thought.
Okay, so in Adam Smashing Power of the Mind, which is one of our favorites, he says, now is the time to plant the seed thought of the conditions we desire by saying, come, my good thoughts, let us inherit our kingdom. That kind of makes me chuckle. We wouldn't probably say that, would we?
Come, good thoughts, let me inherit my kingdom. Well, but the kingdom's inherent, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Charles is always going along this edge that at one moment, God is not love, and the next moment, God seems to be loving, and we inherit the kingdom. No, the kingdom is within you. So how did you inherit it? It's really, really interesting. However, what we're talking about here is desire. What condition are you wanting within yourself? And what are the seed thoughts or seed ideas that we can plant that will manifest that condition? Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Right. And that's powerful. That's where people want to focus and think about how you want to feel. Because I know recently we were talking with somebody who was really having a problem forgiving somebody for something. And just asking her the question, are you comfortable with how you're feeling as you hold on to that? Do you like feeling that way? And it was like, well, no. There's your incentive to release it. If you love yourself enough to want to feel better within yourself, then that might be the stimulus to go through the forgiveness process. Yeah,
it's almost like people want to feel better, but still be in unforgiveness.
Right, right. I want to hold on to this story because I just love telling it, you know? Yeah.
What I like about seed thought, that expression, is that seeds imply growth.
And seeds will germinate and grow in proportion to the quality of the soil in which it's planted in. So yep. If you're trying to plant a good, positive thought in an overall consciousness that is negative, it's going to take a while to get some traction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To make the shift. And that's how you're going to start it, by planting some sort of seed thoughts that's in the direction of a more supportive consciousness.
Yeah. And what's interesting is, even when you plant the seed in good soil, if that's all you do, not much is going to happen. You've got to water it.
You got to water it. And you can't be digging it up and seeing if it's germinating.
Right.
That old story. Yeah.
Got to have some faith there and some trust in the process, trusting the process.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have this vision of with the beach, all those weathered trees that are in a location where they get the battering of the storms and the salt water, and yet they're still there. But boy, you could tell they've had a rough struggle. And I think when we plant seeds in negative thought, that's what is going to happen. It can grow if there's enough determination there, but man, it's going to be rocky.
Yeah. And they might be those seeds, or the sprouts from those seeds just might be deformed.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's how we get negative or unwanted error thinking, right?
Yes.
And what's interesting is Cher just mentioned that the trees along the coast, we're in North Carolina, and a lot of the eastern seaboard had those trees until they were cut by developers. And one of the things that may have saved the Surfside Hotel were those trees. Had they not been cut,
yes.
It changed the whole landscape of the protection.
Wow. So shall we go on to the next one because it's related?
Yes. The next one is, I see in mind. Is that the next one?
Yes.
Okay. Which comes from Christian Healing. I see in mind that perfect character which I desire to be, and thus plant the seed thought that brings forth the perfect man. Or woman, I have to add.
Or woman. So the perfect they.
Yes.
And perfect is not a good word. What we're really looking at is the best we can be. Isn't that what we decided on at some point a few years ago? That seed thought that brings forth the best me I can be.
Yep. Yes, yes.
And ideal doesn't even work here, because ideal and perfection is like a goal that can't be achieved.
Because it's hard to define. What does perfect mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
How do you create the seed thought? You can't visualize it, because that's really what the seed thought is that visualization of what I am striving toward.
Yes. Yes. So
it's like the pattern that I can match the me against.
Exactly. And so that's why someplace else, Charles referred to that as the perfect pattern of man, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that is often then equated with the Christ, which is really the Christ idea, the idea that contains ideas. Yep. Wow. Okay, next one.
So the next one, then he goes on to say, all desire is fulfilled through the formative word.
And then you got to ask yourself, what does Charles mean by formative word? This came up in a class this morning for people who are finishing up their licensed teacher program. And the student had a slide about the importance of the formative word or formative thought. And after a presentation, I asked, so what's formative thought? You know, and then there was crickets in the room. All they could do is really hear the sound of silence. Well, the formative word is the word, the thought we shape with our power of imagination. And we're not just shaping thought, are we? We're shaping thought and feeling. And it's so important to remember that. So we fulfill a desire by shaping our thoughts and feelings. So then that desire in a way is fulfilled in consciousness, but that doesn't mean yet that it's going to be fulfilled in the outer realm. Right. And that's a distinction we got to keep making. And last week we talked about this and you had those two laws remind people because maybe they didn't hear last week's program.
Right. So we have the law of mind action, which is what we just talked about with that formative thought process. And then the law of manifestation, which is the action that you take, where you take action that matches, and that's the important part, your action matches the desire that you have.
Desire. And if your action isn't matching your desire, something's out of sync within your consciousness.
Right. Absolutely. Like if you desire perfect health and then you eat a bunch of garbage, your actions are not supporting that very goal that you're working on.
Right. If you desire a healthy body and you're going to exercise, but if you don't exercise or if you don't exercise properly, you're not going to get the results you want.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And I was thinking this, that another way of saying that is all desire is fulfilled through the law of mind action.
Yes. And let's add all desire is fulfilled in consciousness through the law of mind action.
That's where it happens.
Yeah. And then the law of manifestation follows.
Yep. Yes. And then the next quote, the sincere desire of the heart is always fulfilled in consciousness.
Yeah, that's so misleading the way it's written. And that's where people go awry, if you will, with their and say, this stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. It seems not to work. Okay, and then we're going to go one more. Desire goes before every act of your life, hence it is good. It is the very essence of good. It is God himself in a phase of life. So it's God as principle in a phase of life.
Yes.
So I think Charles is saying this because in our culture, desire can sometimes get a bad rap, can it? Like desire somehow is bad. And especially in the context of other religions like Buddhism, this being attached to what you want and all of that leads people to think, well, I can't want something. But wanting to not desire is still desiring not to desire, you see?
Yeah.
Or you're not desiring because you desire to be enlightened.
Kind of tied to that is if we want to be sure that we're using our desire for what we want and not for what we want to avoid. So thinking about weight, for example, you know, people say, well, I don't want to have this body image. I don't like this, but that's not where we want to put the energy. Put the energy in what you desire.
Yes.
Instead.
Yes.
That focus. With worry the same way, people worry, well, that's just energy you're using. Use that energy to send out what you are affirming.
Yes.
Not focused on what you're worried about.
Yeah, and I would say reinforce within you what it is you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, so where are we? Is it time to switch?
It is time to switch.
All right, we are switching to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And this comes from Sunday, August 1st, 2021, Radiance. And I have to say this affirmation works, and I keep have this feeling every time I read it, it could be a little better. The Christ principle is my resource for my radiance. On a clear day, when a stray cloud passes across the sun, the light is diminished. Then, looking up, I see brilliant rays of sunshine surrounding the cloud. When the cloud hides the sun, it does not block its rays. The radiance of the sun can still be seen. As the sun lights the earth and is the source of its energy, the Christ principle is my light and resource for manifesting everything I need to live brilliantly and joyfully. When, like a passing cloud, an obstacle or challenge may seem to dim my awareness of my radiance, I respond by raising my point of view. I am encouraged and strengthened by knowing my divine radiance shines brightly as ever. No cloud can dim my radiant divinity. The Christ principle is my resource for my radiance. Wow. Okay. So friends, thank you for listening. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off. Goodbye, Bill. Goodbye, Cher.
Goodbye, Paul. We are delighted to be part of this, and we just say blessings to all our listeners.
And later to Paul and to everyone, and we'll see you next podcast.